In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Bad, huh? We love to send that HMS Beagle down to the watery graves from whence, well, okay, where it ought to go. I am Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, and we're welcoming you to another fun-filled episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take a lighthearted and sometimes serious look at the airheaded, at the issues of evolution and creation.
Ooh,
it's our favorite topic.
It is our favorite topic, and we talk so much about this that we have fooled ourselves into thinking we know something.
Oh, well, hopefully we can fool you now. No, that we know something. No, we don't want to do that. We have, honestly, we have spent some time researching because we think that good truth can stand investigation, and we like to try to investigate ourselves to know, is it reasonable to believe in a creator God and a redeeming God, or are we just a bunch of fools, as Paul would say?
Well, speaking of deception and deceived, John, today we're going to talk about that great deceiver, Satan. And some of the things in which he might be dabbling in.
Ooh, dabble is a technical term for gerfinger poking.
Gerfinger poking and going in places he shouldn't go, but that is not new territory for him. And
no.
We're going to talk today about, John, I recently did a series of talks on creationism in British Columbia.
Ooh.
And the Canadians there were great, great hosts and a great audience. We had lots of fun and fellowship and so on. They asked me some questions. I opened up after each talk with a chance to ask questions. And
sure.
I'm surprised. I was a little surprised, but not necessarily if you think about it. People had questions about some paranormal kinds of things that we
Ooh.
Might say, or at least paranormal.
Yeah.
Well, for instance, Sasquatch came up.
Oh, old Sassy, huh?
Yeah, old Sassy.
From Saskatchewan, huh?
Yeah, a native of Saskatchewan.
Is no.
Sasquatch, and of course the famous abominable snowman, or whatever you want to call
Yeti.
Bigfoot.
Well, we used to call him Yeti when we were in Nepal.
You were in Nepal, and you chased him, did you? Or what?
Well,
we
saw him running down the hill for a while when we came near, He's not a real personable type. He sees people, and you only see his backside every time you see a film of him.
Were you
always
smoking
that kind of
something at the time? Those were in your
days. Oh, wait, that's right. It might have just been one of those. Okay, never mind.
Yeah. And seriously, there are these stories that have come down through history of supposed sightings of semi-human,
upright
ape man kind of. Yeah, part man, part ape, part college student, part Acme Gorilla Suit, Inc., or something. But those kind of questions seem to linger.
What do they say? Do they want you to verify that they're real? Do they say, Stan, you should have seen what I saw?
Well, the question, and this particular one wasn't an eyewitness, but they're really concerned because they basically asked, what do you make of this? And as I was starting to formulate a thought, how am I going to answer? They said, because there's so many sightings of this, it just seems like, do you think it's like a subhuman race or something left over from early days or what is it?
You know what always amazes me, Stan, is that whenever you see these things in, the World or Star magazines, you see a picture of one, and there's always how come every time someone sees one of these things, or a flying saucer for that matter, they always have the worst camera ever invented by man? No one's had a 7-megapixel Sony quick shot or never gets it focused right. There's no quick shot, instant focus kind of stuff where you could really see the guy's name was Bill or something like that. His Walt would be sticking out, Where'd you get his driver's license,
And that you just casually mentioned it there about flying saucers. What do you make of flying saucers, and that they don't usually have good photographs, this is Billy and Bob throwing flying saucers across
the street. Or the green men with the huge heads and always have big eyes. They look like,
And you were mentioning off mic that There's a lot of sightings that have been recent and so forth.
Lately, there seems to have been in the last year or so. It seems like I look at these sites like the Drudge Report and other places, and there's been a lot of more of what we would call paranormal, a little bit beyond normal activities. What does, you know, science doesn't like the paranormal, but it investigates and it sends all of its powers, and they can't prove or disprove paranormal. What do creationists believe about the paranormal?
Right.
Is there a paranormal, or should we be surprised that there's a paranormal?
You know, when you look at all the different categories of things, John, you seemed like you suggest, there never is quite that silver bullet. There's never quite that evidence that you can kind of say, there it is, that proves it. That's always kind of on the edge and kind of out there, you know. Anecdotal stories and fuzzy pictures and so on. Now, What I'm about to say on this is I don't want people to think that someday there won't be some kind of thing that is purported to be pure evidence.
So stay tuned. Don't quit listening to us because we think you're crazy now.
There may be a clear picture that comes out someday.
But right now, you're nuts.
or some little green man that shakes hands with everybody in a park one day and says, hello, take me to your leader, you know, or something. What would you do if something like that happened? What does the Bible say about whether there's life on other planets and things
really,
like
Stan,
this?
Yeah, here's I'd the thing. To go in these is areas. Seeing believing?
Is seeing believing?
Really, when we're talking about these things, all of them we call sightings.
These are all sightings.
Sightings, which means that somehow someone has seen something.
And believe it to the depths of reality, you know, sincerity, absolutely sincere witnesses.
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to say you didn't see it, but... Yeah. I might say, are you sure you saw what you thought you saw, or what is it?
They saw something. And
there's
what do
always
you do
a
when
twilight.
People have seen something? Does the Bible say we can always rely on what we see as being evidence?
And that we
and
don't.
So
we know it's not true. We have a torpedo text we can even dive into now, Stan.
Sure. Let's.
Well, what is it? What is your text
let's,
for today?
Let's take a shot at
I
HMS
want to develop
Beagle.
That. Sure.
Okay. Now, this is from 2 Corinthians 11, and this is starting in verse 14. It says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves."
What you have here is Satan and what apparently his ministers, referring to other demons
fallen angels,
are able to masquerade out of what their normal character is, which is usually violence, anti-love, self-centered beings.
Because they're degraded to that, yes.
And they're there, and they tend to want to deceive people and make what, at least start challenging consistent worldviews that you believe about the world.
Well, now, when Jesus was being tempted in his 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, being tested to make sure, you know, he was focused and his mission was going to go forward, you remember that the devil came to him and tempted him with three tests. But this reference here to Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light is actually a reference to especially that story where Satan came to Jesus apparently in the form of an angel coming down from heaven and apparently all brilliant and glorious and here to trick Jesus into thinking that he was something that he wasn't.
Yeah, and you also this whole verse speaks of deception.
Yep.
And really, Jesus, a few weeks back on Sink the Beagle, we talked about the Gospel of John saying Jesus says he is the father of all lies or deceptions.
Yes.
And we know that that's his pattern. That's his M.O. That's how his modus operandi in the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
He goes up there as a serpent. And it's not just as, I mean, who would want to look at a dumb, ugly snake? They always show an ugly kind of vampire. Most people go, ooh, and run away. I think that snake looked different than our normal garden variety snake.
Something attractive,
And he tells Eve, if you eat this fruit, you're going to be like me. I'm a talking serpent that can do wonderful things.
Yeah, imagine what happened for you.
Imagine what happens to you. And he deceives her and says, you surely won't die.
Yeah.
He is he's transformed transformed himself into a type of being or creature for the purpose of deception.
And colored the look of the fruit. Even the next verses have Eve looking at the fruit and seeing it a certain different way than God had told her to look at it.
That's poison in the pot. That's death.
Oh, no. Well, maybe it's going to make me wise and it's desirous and so forth. And she started to see it a different way. You know, John, the way that Jesus told the devil, apart from an angel of life or correctly identifying him, was by what he said. mm-hmm. not by what he looked like. And when he spoke and put tests to Jesus, and those tests did not correspond to Jesus' understanding of the Word of God, mm-hmm. it was God's Word that was the standard by which he could tell a deception from the truth.
Mm, so we can find, if you want to yeah. extrapolate from that,
yeah.
there is a source of truth about our world around us,
yes.
and we do well to pay attention to it.
The reality of the world around us is better found in Scripture. In other words, we will be able to tell truth from lies, truth from deception, by comparing our experiences, and yes, even what we see, with what God's Word says. And that's how Jesus was helped through his tests. There's terrible pressure in those tests that he had. If he believed that the devil was in fact an angel of light sent from God, where would we be today if Jesus believed what he saw?
That is true. I want to throw it back to our original thought, just because, you know,
Sasquatch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does it really matter? Does it really matter if someone believes in Sasquatch or Yeti or not?
Well, I don't know. Here's my concern about believing things that are not reality. The devil always
or
has...
Or paranormal. They're paranormal a reality, things. But they are meant for deception.
If they are indeed sourced by Satan, if Satan is behind that and is able... I mean, let's look at these movies from Hollywood. Look at the special effects, the things that Hollywood can do to make you believe certain realities that aren't so... And believing that they really are. I mean, imagine what the devil and a third of the angels of heaven that have been fallen now are capable of projecting and making you think is
going
maybe, on.
And maybe maybe there is an evil one setting up the world
yes.
to only trust your senses, that seeing
yes.
is believing. And in the end of time, when Satan masquerades as an angel of light,
yes.
you will believe the lies and be led away from the living God.
Well, What if, let's say, Satan lands in a spaceship or something, and he takes the form of Jesus.
Chides the nations a little bit
yeah.
for their violence.
You guys,
and
I want you to all have peace. Peace, you know.
All
you need is peace, you know.
Everybody's talking about sadism. Yeah,
exactly.
The old John Lennon concert here going.
You know, to do
yeah.
a John Lennon concert and flash the peace sign, everybody goes, this is what we wanted Jesus to be, of peace, and love, all of this kind of stuff. And yet to lead the world into a different path, a darker path, maybe, and this is the thing, is he setting up the world through these paranormal experiences, these sightings where people see something and start to believe a certain reality? This is what's out there. They're little green men. We are not alone. Well, there are many worlds out there. And if they start to come down and tell us things that we had never heard before, we're going to believe them because we've been set up.
But one thing I think that only makes this setup believable
uh-huh.
is that if the world is in a period of crisis, we will be looking for a savior.
Yes.
We will be looking
yes.
for something
so
bigger
Jesus
or better than ourselves,
yes,
a bigger creature, a better world, a hope beyond our planet,
mm-hmm.
whether it be in flying saucers or huge creatures,
right.
whatever that can save us. And so I think there is a level of deception in our world that goes on where the devil is sort of just, he has time. He's working his game, so to speak.
Yes, and he's preparing the world for something.
He's preparing the world for his mm-hmm. masquerades and his
yep.
deception. And I think one of the big deceptions he has the end time is there is no God, or that you aren't a created thing.
That's right.
A created
the
person
scoffers.
Or being. There's these critters like Sasquatch running around. How do
yeah,
they fit?
Yeah,
the Bible
yeah,
talk about
the Bible
Sasquatch.
To talk about. So don't trust the Bible. It won't tell you everything you need to know
and so
about
you,
reality. You
so
know?
You need to be you
it's
need to be
greater
cautious.
Reality.
You need to be cautious. Need to be aware of the greater reality
yes.
of God
yes.
and trust in His Word. And that's what we'd like you to believe.
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.